good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. I want to welcome our visitors this morning. And I have changed the program that I've used for my lessons, and hopefully this one's not going to go crazy. And I was beginning to think that perhaps the program that I was using might have been corrupted, which was causing it to mess up the monitors. This morning I want to talk a little bit about red letter living. You know, most of us have Bibles in our houses. Many of us carry Bibles that has the words of Jesus printed in red. And that's done simply to help identify Jesus' words. Now, I actually do have a Bible in my office that does not have red letters. But with careful study, we can find Jesus' words. The red letter edition of the Bible was invented by a man by the name of Louis Klopps, if I pronounce his name correctly, in 1900. So that's 119 years ago. And since that time, the use of red letter Bibles has become very popular. Now, while these words are no more true than the other words of the Bible, now please understand what I said. Every word that we have written for us today, God's word, is important. For the disciples of Jesus, which I hope that everyone here is, it would be a good exercise for us to pay close attention to the words of the one that we desire to follow. Simply claiming allegiance to Jesus does not make one a true disciple. Many of us have friends that we've talked to. You ask them about Jesus. Yes, I believe in Jesus. But yet they continue right on with their sinful lives. We must honor Jesus Christ, His person, and His words. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. We have written for us here, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." These are red letter words, important words, in words that we should look at and live by. Notice again, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me." Being ashamed of Christ is something that should not ever be in a Christian's life. If we're ashamed of Christ, as he says right here, then he's going to be ashamed of us. How many times have you had someone say, "I was just so ashamed of that person," possibly because of what they done or said? But the idea here is there's no reason for us as Jesus' disciples to be ashamed of the one who died for our sins. How could we be ashamed of someone who has sacrificed so much for us? How many of you would be ashamed of your mother or your father, even though they've taken care of you from the time you was born until the time you left home, and then also provided many things? We must honor Jesus Christ and His words. I would like for us to examine a very important red letter phrase that has been spoken by Jesus Christ, and I hope that it will challenge us today. Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 through 13. But when Jesus heard that, talking about the Pharisees complaining to the disciples, how could your master sit with sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And then he goes on, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. He wanted them who was grumbling and complaining about Jesus sitting with tax collectors, publicans, and sinners to go and learn the statement of the sick are the ones in need of a physician, not those that are whole. How many of you go to the doctor because you feel good? Now, yes, you might go for an annual checkup, but most of us do not make doctor's appointments to go when we feel fine. It's only when we're sick, when we pick up the phone or we stop by the office and set up an appointment to go see the doctor, the physician, so that he could prescribe whatever the means may be to help us to feel better. Jesus himself said in verse 12, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician. Those who are living by the law, those that are living by the law of Moses and keeping those commandments, they don't need a physician. They don't need me, is basically what he's saying. But only those that are sick, those that are living in sin. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. Because they didn't have any idea what Jesus was talking about. They didn't comprehend. All they could see was him sitting there eating a dinner with publicans and sinners. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Mercy and not sacrifice. But their life was all about sacrifice. They lived their life in sacrifice. Because everything that they did involved them to make a sacrifice just about. They had peace offerings. There was the offering of the high priest once a year to go in and offering a blood sacrifice for the sins of the people. But here Jesus says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's really our job today. Our job today is to call sinners to repentance. You know, when we have an auditorium full of Christians, then I'm standing up here preaching to the choir. Because you all know this. But the idea is that we must call sinners to repentance. That's the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. That is our job. A little bit of a background on this statement that Jesus just made here. Again, Jesus had called Levi, Matthew, all right, a tax collector, to follow him. Look at Matthew 9 and verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence after healing a man, and Jesus passed forth from hence and saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, follow me, and he arose and followed him. Not only did Jesus call Matthew, but as I said before, he said, at a meal with several tax collectors and sinners. Again, Matthew 9 and verse 10, and it came to pass that Jesus sat at meat in the house. Behold, many publicans, tax collectors, and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Now, could you imagine the disciples really following Jesus, calling Matthew? And you know, that man, Matthew, gave up a very prosperous job. because he kind of set the taxes. You know, the Romans said, you need to collect this amount. Anything over and above that, he was able to put in his own pockets. But when Jesus said, come, follow me, he literally got up and followed. There was no hesitation from what I read. The Pharisees saw this, especially when they were sitting at the meal and eating with the tax collectors and sinners. The Pharisees saw this and they questioned his disciples as to why their teacher would sit and eat with sinners. The tax collectors were despised by the Jews. They literally tried to avoid them, because they know that if they was in a place where they was supposed to be paying taxes, that there they were with their hand out. How many of us like paying taxes? Every 15th of April, the government's got their hand out. The same idea here is that they were despised. Literally, the word publican means a tax farmer, someone that cultivated money from one person to another. And, you know, the problem was is that the tax collector was not able to collect what the Romans wanted. They didn't stick around very long, because they wasn't doing what the Roman government wanted. There are several lessons, I think, that we can learn from these verses. What Jesus values, lesson number one, and what we value are not the same. What Jesus values and what we value many times are not the same. In Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6, Hosea writes, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." You see, the Jews, because of all of the sacrifices and all of the burnt offerings that they offered, they felt that they were okay with God. That, you know, whatever else I do, not a problem, because I made the sacrifice. I offered the burnt offering. I've done the letter of the law. So everything else is fine dandy. But you know what? Look at what Matthew chapter 23 and verse 30 and 31 says. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Well, you know, if we lived back then, we wouldn't have done that. How many people have you ever heard say, well, if I was back there, if I'd have been back in that time, I surely wouldn't have done that, but yet they do the same thing today, or and maybe even worse. Here the Jews were saying, you know, if we'd have lived back in the days of our fathers, we wouldn't have killed all those prophets. No, not us. But yet, look what they did. He goes on, he says, "Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets." Yeah, you say that you wouldn't do it, but your actions show you who your true father is. By what you've done, by what you're doing, you literally show who you are. You know, many times we claim to be God-fearing. We claim to be following Jesus' words. We claim to be a Christian. We claim to be faithful in all things. But yet, how many of us do not truly keep God's word? Many times in our lives we feel that, you know, nobody's not going to know. You know, it's just that one little thing. Have you ever watched the water going down a drain. It gets to twirling around in a big whirlpool. Many times that's our lives. We get so close to the edge. We're spinning around the drain. And all it would take is just a little bit of error. And down we go. Are we those who have killed the prophets? Have we put Christ to death again because we have lived unfaithfully? Even though we claim to love Jesus, even though we claim to do those things that's required, how many of us truly live faithfully? Our place in life is not with the healthy. Our place in life is among the sick. Take your Bibles and open them up to Matthew chapter 9. Because I want to read again. I want to start in verse 1. Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came unto his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. You know, when Jesus sat with the publicans and the sinners, it was almost like taking a stick and poking a hornet's nest. You ever done that just for fun? Poke a hornet's nest? You know, Jesus was not intentionally trying to stir up the Jews. He wanted them to learn a lesson. He wanted them to understand that, you know, God does not really desire sacrifice, but He desired mercy. And notice here, Jesus healed this man of palsy. He says, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Again, He's poking the hornet's nest. Not intentionally to stir things up, but to get them to learn, to listen, to understand what God truly requires. He goes on, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Oh boy, they were beside themselves. Because Jesus said that that man's sins had been forgiven. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Why are you thinking this? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and walk, but that thou may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. That was the lesson He was trying to teach. But all they could see was that He was blaspheming. He goes on, He says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith He to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. You know, Jesus has kind of poked the hornet's nest a little bit. Then He goes on, He said, and He arose and departed to the house, into His house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Well, that power from God through Christ. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. And He saith unto him, follow Me. Now don't forget, Jesus had already whacked the hornet's nest. And He arose and followed Him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. I don't know if you remember, but I think we talked about this some time ago. But when they was having a dinner like this, people would just stop by. And they would sit around and listen to what was being talked about. If they had not been actually invited to dinner, they didn't set it where the food was. They sat along the walls and listened. And that's what was taking place here. And many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" They was already hopping mad because he said, "Be of good cheer, thy sins have been forgiven." So they was really upset. He goes on and he says, "But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth." Learn, understand that I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. "But go ye and learn what I meaneth. I will have mercy, not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance." Even the learned, meaning the scribes and the Pharisees, had a few more things that they literally needed to learn. Look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13. "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That is something that we need to learn today. That we need to call sinners to repentance. We need to help them to understand that they need Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They needed to understand. We need to understand. We need to have mercy or compassion. Just as Jesus had mercy and compassion on the man of palsy. In James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." If we're simply hearers of the word, then we are deceiving ourselves, because as it says here, "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass," looking in the mirror. That's what the Word of God is. It's a mirror. And when we look into that Word, we can see what we are. He goes on, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is." Brothers and sisters, if all you ever do is listen to me, then you're just like that man looking in the mirror and going off and forgetting what you look like. You need to study. You need to understand. You need to even check to see if what I'm teaching is right or wrong. Verse 25, "But whosoever looketh to the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein." If we continue in the perfect law of liberty, God's Word, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Do we simply listen and go away and forget? Jesus was trying to teach a very important lesson to the scribes and the Pharisees, that he came to call sinners. He came to call those who were sick in sin. Again, in James, the word doer literally means a performer. Someone who performs the way he should. And then we can see deceive, delude. How many of us truly try to believe with all of our heart something that we know is not true? That's literally what the word deceive means. We delude ourselves into thinking that we're all that when we're really not. Continueth. Remain permanently. Continuing in God's Word. And not living a sinful worldly life. If you're not reading and studying God's Word, then how are we going to go and learn what Jesus teaches? We can't rely on our ears. We need to rely also on our eyes and our mind. And have the ability that when we look into the perfect law of liberty, that we come away knowing fully the man or woman that we are in God's eyes. If you're not yet a disciple of Jesus, I want you to know that He loves you and that He seeks your well-being, just as Jesus did with Matthew and the other publicans and sinners that gathered around at the dinner. But if you're here and already a disciple, maybe you need to step up to the challenge of the red letter living. Living by the Word of God and not by how we feel at the moment. This morning, if you wish to be baptized and have your sins washed away, please come and make that request known. Or if you're here and already a child of God, but perhaps see in your life that you are not living a faithful life, that you have went away from the mirror and you have forgotten, and you'd like the prayers of the saints, please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.